Emily Lanell.
I'm Kyle Cacciadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessibles Doll.
Hey, Emily, this is definitely not the seventh time we're recording this episode. What are we going to talk about today?
It's got to be a surprise for you, because it's not like I've said it before, right?
It's true, actually. What are we going to talk about today, Emily?
I have a story to tell you.
Cool. I love story time in The Accessibles Doll.
Me too! Everybody get a cup of hot chocolate and a bowl of popcorn and put on your footy pajamas.
I'm way ahead of you.
So, anyway, a couple days ago, I went to a photo shoot at a studio. And so I was, you know, roaming around looking for an accessible bathroom, and suddenly a man stops me and he says, "Do you smoke?" And I was so confused because I thought he was just like a random guy in the studio who was trying to bum a cigarette off me or something, which I've never had anybody do that before. So I was like, "No," and I kind of looked at him a little funny, and he was like, "Oh, well, I'm just asking because I wanted you to know that there's a wheelchair accessible way to get to the deck outside if you do want to go smoke." And then he was like, "I'm the facilities manager, by the way." And I was like, "Oh, this makes sense now." So then I said, "You know, nobody's ever asked me if I needed access to go have a cigarette before." And then I said, "You know, I prefer access to fresh air rather than access to lung cancer, but I appreciate you asking me." And, you know, then I was like, "What's your name?" And he was like, "Johnny." And I was like, "Johnny, you're a good egg." And I meant it, because I just felt like it was a very considerate question to ask. And it lacked an air of assumption. It was just very straightforward. And also, I don't know how to say this without it sounding weird, but you know how there's like this assumption that disabled people can't do anything? So I guess I think that people must assume like we don't smoke or drink or do drugs or do anything other than like sit like a vegetable all day.
Absolutely.
So I guess I was just sort of surprised that the question was even asked of me in the first place. I know how silly that sounds.
I mean, I get it, because I don't smoke, but, you know, a friend of mine does, and like, it's always a trip. It's like, you? Really? You have enough problems. You don't need to do that, too. It's like,
I mean, I know that people make those assumptions, but the truth is, that is actually why I don't smoke or drink or do drugs, is I do have enough problems.
Oh, I just don't,
I mean, I
do
also
it.
Have no interest, you know, and I should also say, like, I'm not judging anybody who does that, but I'm not a substance person. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. The point is that I really appreciated the way that accessibility was offered to me. And that doesn't happen very often. I feel like there was something so casual and genuine about it, and I appreciated it because I don't expect it. I am so used to encountering inaccessibility wherever I go that when I suddenly encounter not only accessibility, but an outright offer of accessibility, this is shocking to me.
I find that interesting, right? Because people like you always champion the need and the want for more accessibility. And yet, when you find it, and to wit, even when it's shoved in your face, it's like, instead of thinking, "Oh, look, my work is paying off," even if not directly, it's like, "Oh, look, you know, someone actually cares. Is this even real?" And I find that not humorous, but it's like, how do you wish for more accessibility and then continue to be completely shocked when you find it. And also shocked when you don't, too. It's just a strange, like, thought process is all. Not saying it's bad.
You made a good point to me when I told you this story off the air, though, because I admit I did tell Kyle this story about how we need to start expecting stuff like this as a sign of progress.
I mean, yeah, right? Because, I mean, it's always going to be an uphill battle. I don't think, at least in our lifetime, that there's going to be a utopia for people with disabilities in this country. But, you know, that's not to say that huge amounts of progress won't be made. And I think as much as we should expect progress to be made, we could also start maybe accepting that progress has been made. You know, and I understand that the reason that people with disabilities who use wheelchairs tend not to think that is because very often it isn't thought of. But I think a step in the right direction, maybe to not be so impressed or, you know, enamored when it is there, you know?
I guess the reason that I am is because in the very few times when I've just expected or assumed accessibility, it often ends up happening that I encounter inaccessibility. And so when I find myself completely and utterly shut out of something that I wasn't even giving a second thought to, I'm immediately jolted back to the reality that most things are not accessible. And so when something is not only accessible, but somebody goes above and beyond to offer me access, I find myself wanting to praise them and praise the situation and just generally celebrate it because it's such a relief to me to have access available to me. It's just, it still is surprising. I mean, in the same way that when I find out something is not wheelchair accessible, I have this sinking feeling in my stomach. When I find out that something is wheelchair accessible and I wasn't expecting it to be, I get this like floating feeling. I know everyone must be either rolling their eyes at me or nodding along, but, you know.
I'm doing both, so it's all good. I don't think that such a thing, I don't want you to hear what I said as me saying that you shouldn't praise access when it's there. Because, let's face it, we've all been in situations where we have expected access. Especially from people who, you know, should know better, and it's led to nothing but disappointment. So I think the praise is warranted, but the expectation is what I'm stuck on. Although you raise a good point where it's like, if you don't have any expectations, you can't really be disappointed when it's not there. But, you know, still, I don't know.
It's always a disappointment to find out about inaccessibility, but it's not a surprise. Finding out about accessibility actually being there is what's a surprise to me. And I guess I wonder how to even get to a point where it's reasonable to have the expectation of accessibility. I just feel like we've had the Americans with Disabilities Act in place for my entire life, and none of it instills any confidence in me that I should feel like I can expect that disabled people are actually welcome in this society.
You say that, but you say that having been born pretty much after the passage of it. I don't know if you would say that had you been born 20 years before the passage of it, when you wouldn't have been able to get onto a bus. So yeah, I mean, all I'm saying is it's very easy to say it's not good enough when you don't know a world without it. I happen to agree with you. I don't think it's good enough at all. But I'm also blessed to have been born after the ADA, so I don't know any better. I don't know. Ask your mom.
My mom always compares our lives in the sense that she says she thinks that her entire life experience would have been different if she grew up in my generation, in our generation. And it's true.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Makes you wonder, though, because, like, what is disability activism in a world where we have federal protection? I mean, even if it's not great, it's there. Not saying there's not room for improvement. I mean, that's what the show is all about. But it's just an interesting thought. Because if our existing law isn't good enough, what's the next step? Like, what do you do now?
What do you do? I mean, well, you know what? I know what you do. You protest and you post angry tweets and you write a Facebook status. You know, you laugh, but you know it's true. What else can we do?
I laughed at angry tweets and Facebook statuses. Protesting has some merit. I don't know. I am on the inside. I am an angry old man who yells at clouds. I don't think that complaining over social media does anything good. Usually. I mean, that's not saying it never gets anything good done, because of course it does. But I don't know.
So, yeah, I don't expect accessibility, but that doesn't make me any less angry every time I encounter inaccessibility. And so sometimes I just want to get real excited when I do encounter accessibility.
Oh, no, of course. I'm trying to imagine it, and it's like, I don't smoke, but you know, maybe I should, because I never thought I'd have this opportunity. I don't know.
And then I, you know, just produce the pack of cigarettes that I've been keeping for this exact moment.
Right, you bought it, like, you bought it the day you turned 18, and you're like, in case of access, break glass. And then the guy says that to you, and it's like, my time has come. I have never smoked a cigarette in my life, and I will never smoke a cigarette.
You know, I actually left out.
Ever.
I think I left out the part where he was like, do you smoke? I hope you don't, but if you do. And I was like, you somehow sound like if the facilities manager was my grandpa. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. But you know, that's funny too, because I don't know if you would go up to an able-bodied. Well, maybe you would. Maybe some people are this guy, right? But like, I'm not. You know, of course you shouldn't smoke, but I'm never gonna go up to someone I know who does smoke and rub it in their face. So I would never say, like, I can't see myself saying that to an able-bodied person. I don't know if maybe he does, but I feel like the I hope you don't might could have been maybe because you were in a wheelchair. Perhaps.
See, that would, it's so funny that you're reading into it that way, because normally I feel like, and I'm sure our listeners would agree, I would be the one who would say that, but I didn't get that vibe at all. I literally thought it was more just like the, you know, I'm going to offer you the opportunity to give yourself lung cancer, but I'd prefer that you not give yourself lung cancer.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I wasn't there, but I just can't see. I mean, people do that, though. People do that, where it's like they'll go up to somebody smoking and be like, this is everybody's air, sir. You shouldn't do that. And it's like, yes, but I'm an addict, you see. And if I had it my way.
I mean, when I was younger, I used to, like, go out of my way to cough in front of people who smoked.
I don't do that. Not unless, I mean, it's just because they know it's bad. No one doesn't know it's bad.
You know what I find really obnoxious? And I know we're way off track here, but I try to keep a distance from people who smoke because it really does bother me. I have mild asthma and it gives me a headache. It makes my eyes itch. It makes me nauseous. I just don't like the smell of cigarettes. And so I'll try to keep a safe distance between me and a smoker. And every time I move, they'll, like, reposition themselves to move closer to me. or they'll like blow their smoke in my direction. And I'm like, I don't want to share your cigarette with you.
No, well, that's rude, though. That's not. Yeah. There's ways to be a polite smoker. That's not it.
Yeah, don't smoke. That's polite.
Well, I mean, you could smoke and not be a dick about it, too. But
I mean, well, clearly, you know, I'm on the side of not ingesting toxic substances into your body. But anyway, again.
Oh, I'm not either. I've never ever
smoked. No, I know. I know you are.
A cigarette in my life ever. Nope. But you know, it's funny. I don't hate the smell because my mom has smoked her whole life and I associate the smell of cigarette smoke with her. So I don't hate it. Which is weird.
Okay, so my grandpa was a heavy smoker and he always had this faint smell of cigarettes, but he also just smelled like grandpa, so I don't know, man. I miss that guy.
Grandpa, it's a very nostalgic cocktail. I don't know. My family used to smoke, like all of them. And then when me and my sister were born, my entire dad's half quit and my mom's half still does. So we definitely have the tobacco gene in the Cacciadorian genes, but I've never had an interest in it. Ever.
Yeah, it just is icky to me. But anyway, back to the subject at hand. This has been a PSA.
Smoking is bad, okay?
Yeah, this has been a PSA for making smart, healthy choices. And so how can we reach a point where access becomes an expectation, or when we feel safe in expecting something? Is that point even reachable in our lifetime? I mean, seriously.
The optimist in me wants to say, of course. Of course it is. The realist in me, probably in our children's lifetime, I would say. Because.
You think so?
I think, yeah, because here's the thing. I think a lot of access problems have like simpler solutions than we think. I think a lot of the reason people don't implement access problems or accessibility things like ramps and you know, slightly wider doorways or whatever it is, most of that I really do believe is the lack of education, the lack of knowledge that we are part of the economy and would like to buy things at your establishment, the severe overestimation of the cost to your mm-hmm. business, the total lack of repercussions in the actual law, let alone all the extensions you get if you're a business owner, and not to mention the underlying societal fear of disabled people. And I think that that's going to be the hardest one to deal with. But I think the first three things I said are a lot more easier dealt with than you think. Like, honestly, I really do think that if you like went door to door to your mom and pop shops, that you'd have a decent result. If you like made a PowerPoint presentation for them, I'm not saying you should, but like, I'm serious. I think a lot of people just generally don't know how cheap it is to install a ramp. It's a one-time access.
That's
fee,
the whole
but
point
like,
of the ADA Education and Reform Act that people were trying, not the whole point, but like it was basically placing the impetus on people to educate businesses instead of, you know, litigating them for not following a law that's been in place for nearly 30 years. It becomes your job to educate them, basically to literally do a PowerPoint to explain to them why they need to make their business accessible. And on the one hand, like, I get that it's important to educate people. On the other hand, why are you as a business owner not already understanding and in full compliance with a law that applies to business owners? Why?
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Like, I think that whole thing is a fecal fiesta.
I think you momentarily rendered me speechless. Oh my god, a fecal fiesta.
I don't like cursing because it makes, you know, when I edit these episodes, it makes it just a little bit harder. So I try not to.
Well, there's the catchphrase of the century. I'm going to make freaking t-shirts with that.
No, but I mean, really, I'm not saying that business owners can't be better at being receptive to the needs of the disability community. Of course they can. Like, we live in New York City where, you know, everything has a step out front because it's built on top of vast body of water that was once sinking. Like, you know, but you've been to other cities where they have better access. And it's like, look, this is what the whole country could be if the whole country cared.
Yeah. You know what really gets me? And I'm sorry to the people who are listening to us in Washington, D.C., but oh my gosh, people complain all the time in D.C. Oh, the elevators are always broken. Hello, come to New York City for 2 seconds. Come to New York City for 2 seconds and try to use our subway system, and then come back and complain to me about the Washington, D.C. Metro. Oh,
it's the exact same thing here, though. You have people that are like, oh my God, the subway price is rising a quarter. It's like, yeah, dude, $2.75 a flat fee metro is like so good. You've never been outside of New York City. And I know that because if you've been to any other major city, you would have a pay per ride, pay per distance fare. And you wouldn't even think to say that $2.75 is expensive.
That's the flip side of my argument. But yes,
I'm not for it. I really, and I know if you live in New York, like you probably do, you're going to want to crucify me. But I really do believe that New York has to not do that anymore. 100%. Sorry.
Well, that's just, no, that, I mean, I don't really know if I have feelings either way, but that's a story for another day. And I also wanted to go back to what you were saying about educating the mom and pop shops. I don't know if I told this story on the podcast before. There's a coffee shop in my town. I was actually there today on the day we're recording this, and they are in a building that has a step leading up to it. And I really wanted to be able to go there because I was so excited that there was a new coffee shop in the town near me. And so I called them right after they opened, and I let them know that I'm a wheelchair user and that I would really like to access their coffee shop. And would they please consider getting a ramp? So I don't hear anything for a year. I'm not even kidding, a year. And then one day I get a voicemail, and it's this woman who says she's the owner of the coffee shop, and they held on to my phone number and they got a ramp and they wanted to let me know. And so on the one hand, I was like, do I get annoyed that it took them a year to get something that should really have been in place to begin with? Or do I just say, hey, gee willikers, like, it's amazing somebody actually decided to make something accessible, and it was a complete surprise because I wasn't expecting it.
I mean, I don't think you should say gee willikers about anything. But I think that in that specific situation that you're sort of justified in being a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. It's like, I'm glad it's here, but did it really have to take a year? I mean, maybe it did. Maybe it did. You know, maybe they had better things to do than to install a ramp, like build their brand. Who knows? But that still seems to me like a much too long time. You know, I don't know. Do you make it a point to like go there now?
Absolutely.
I know you said you're just there, but like,
absolutely I do. And so first of all, they know my name. The owner knows my name. He's very friendly. And second of all, I went out of my way to thank him for getting the ramp. And also I brought my mom there too. And you know, she's also a wheelchair user, which I'm sure a lot of listeners know, but I just wanted to make the point that, like, this is going to benefit more than one person. And he's told me, the owner's told me, that other people use that ramp. So it's clearly come in handy. They leave it right by the front door. It's not always outside. Somebody has to put it down for me. But if I was to go by myself, all I would have to do is, like, wave at them or call, and they would just come put it down for me. So it's not a perfect solution, but I just think it shows that it doesn't take that much effort. But the thing is, I don't expect stuff like that. Stuff like that is, it feels above and beyond to me, which is ridiculous.
Go on. Why is it ridiculous? I want to know. I mean, I know, but
because
it's worth expanding on. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just want to hear your reasoning.
Because that should have been one of the first things they did. It should have been part of opening a business. That's literally how that needs to work. And that's not how that works.
I agree. I don't. I mean, I just don't think access should be optional.
Oh, there's the most obvious statement in the world, but it is optional.
I mean, it sounds obvious, right? But, like, the excuse that you hear is, like, this building is 150,000 years old. It's like, okay, that building, who cares about it? No one goes in there. It's 150,000 years old. Going forward, though, you know what I mean?
I just had that happen to me, actually. What? I was at this hotel up in Lake George, New York, for a conference. The hotel is called the Sagamore, and it's a historic building. And so it does have elevators, but there are still, you can take elevators, which lead you to stairs to get to other rooms. And it's so annoying. Like my
church. You got to take.
So.
You got to take stairs to get to the chairlift.
But why? It's infuriating. And so, you know, long story short, I mean, while I was at this conference, the only way that I could get to some of the rooms where the workshops were taking place was to go through this long staff hallway that's like in the basement and guests aren't supposed to be in there. So I was like going past people who had dishes and towels and cleaning supplies. And I was like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be here. I'm sorry. And then also they have a really nice shop in the hotel and there's steps in the middle of the shop. So I can't even get to the cashier. And it's just little things like that that I think are so completely avoidable. Or, you know, there's only one wheelchair accessible bathroom available to guests and it's in the back of a restaurant in the hotel. And I mean, like, is it that hard? Is it?
You forgot the part where, like, a mother and her five children are in it with her luggage.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time. I mean, don't get me started on my bathroom rant, because if I get on my bathroom rant, I'm never getting off it.
You know, I love how they do it in the UK, and like they really should do it that way here, where you have to apply to get a key from the government that unlocks the disabled toilets.
I mean, I used to have an elevator key in high school.
Same thing, but for bathrooms, and they work everywhere. Well, everywhere there is one.
I really don't know how that would work. Is that not like the please offer me a seat buttons? Also, can't people make copies of the key?
That's illegal. I mean, you could, but you get fined for it. And I don't think it's like the please offer me a seat button, because this is like a sanctioned program from a government that actually cares a little bit about its disabled citizens. And not a pilot program that was really just a cute photo op for the city.
Nobody cares about disabled people. It's not true. I'm just being dramatic. But yeah, all of the various anecdotes that I've told are the reasons why I can't expect accessibility, because it's just always going to be some kind of disaster. It just always is.
If you had a key to the elevators in the New York City subway, I mean, even let's pretend that, like, it's still only 24% of them that are as accessible now, but
we're still on keys.
Yeah, but, like, the odds of them failing are so much lower because there's fewer people who use them, and I'm sorry.
Forget failing. The odds of there being urine in them are so much lower. I mean,
That is a bonus.
Have you ever seen something as under-maintained as the New York City subway elevators? You have not. The New York City subway.
I've never seen something so filthy. I'm pretty sure you can open a manhole in the middle of Fifth Avenue and walk into the sewer. And it will be slightly cleaner than the inside of a subway elevator. Like, truly. But all that to say, accessibility is important. But it's, it's so funny because, like, you brought up the little things where it's like, oh, your entrance is accessible, but there's two stairs in your hallway, you know? And I'm not a wheelchair user, so I'm going to ask you, is that more or less soul-crushing than not being able to get somewhere, like, into somewhere in the first place?
Say that again?
I'm going to add, like, I'm just curious, like, in the example you gave before where it's like, oh, there's two steps in the middle of your hallway, but your front door I can get inside of. So you have that false hope that your place is accessible. Is that more or less disappointing than when you're flat out, you just can't get in, period?
I guess the false hope is more disappointing, or when someone tells me something is accessible and I don't really have anything else to go on and can't really find any more information, so I just kind of have to believe them.
Mm.
Like, I've probably told this story too. All my stories must be getting old. But when I had planned a date with a guy to do a paint night, and we got to the restaurant and they had told me that it was accessible. And it's true. The restaurant was accessible. The paint night was upstairs in the restaurant. So I was able to eat dinner there, but not paint there. So that is a horrible feeling, because I think that I did what I needed to do. I did my due diligence to find out if something was wheelchair accessible. And then I get there and I find out, surprise!
Oops, we forgot to tell you. We installed this staircase while you're on your way. I mean, I don't know. It's important. Access is important, says the people on the disability podcast show thing. Anyway, any final takeaways before we repeat every story we've ever told on the show?
They've got to be fresh to somebody.
Is that your final takeaway? Because I actually agree with that.
No, silly. I guess my final takeaway is it's okay to not expect access if it's for the sake of putting your own best interest first, meaning you don't have the expectation of access because you want to make sure that accessibility is available, so you check. And I think it's okay to appreciate the moments when access is provided or offered to you and you weren't expecting it. Embrace those moments because they're little breaths of fresh air in the midst of a fecal fiesta of inaccessibility.
I wanted to go with crap circus, but that doesn't...
Oh, I like that too,
though.
Yeah,
but though, it's not as alliterative, so... Or a poop parade. Anyway, with all that said...
Oh, the alliteration!
With all that said, my final takeaway is don't smoke, because it's bad for you.
That's actually the best possible takeaway there is. Don't do drugs. Don't drink. Don't smoke. Take care of yourselves. Eat your vegetables. Get 8 hours of sleep. And take a shower, for goodness sake.
And clean your room. And call your mother.
She's been worried sick about you.
She definitely has. Anyway, good night, everybody. See you next time.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.